Joshua chapter 2. You can't read these verses really without wondering about Rahab. How could she say what she said and get away with it? You know, there are many, many people who get hung up on Rahab and her lie. They just can't get past Rahab and her lie. Well, let me suggest to you that the Bible doesn't bother too much about Rahab and her lie. It neither condemns her for it or commends her in it. It simply states it as a matter of fact, as the narration of the story of Israel beginning the conquest of the promised land unfolds. Rahab is here, and she's here in all of her sinfulness and more. Sadly, too many people focus on her sinfulness and neglect the more that the Bible has to say about her. Well, let's not do that this evening. Let's get to the main point of the story. And the main point of the story, I suggest to you, is contained in verses 10 through 13. In the words that Rahab speaks, the words that she speaks not now to the messengers of the king of Jericho, the enemy of the Israelites, and the one to whom until now she has owed her allegiance, but to consider the words of Rahab to the spies sent by Joshua into the city. We can imagine the fear that must have overwhelmed them as their presence in the city was found out. Trumpets must have blared, and the sign given that the gate was to be shut as a search party went out. No doubt they heard the knock on Rahab's door. Oh, they already knew where they had come. They knew where they were planning to stay. And Rahab boldly defends her doorway as these soldiers question her and ask her about the men. She sends them off on a wild goose chase into the mountains. And the men are caught there in the city. The gates are shut. The whole city is on the alert. What's going to happen to the men? And that's the question that you're left with at the end of verse 6. What's going to happen to the men? There they are, hiding under a pile of flax on the roof of her home. What's going to happen to the men? And we're left in something of suspense as the story continues. Rahab's footsteps are heard coming up the stairs to the rooftop. And there she begins to talk to the men. And she says to them, "The Lord, your God, is stronger than all." That's what she's saying to them. "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt." How could that happen? This was unheard of, that a body of people trapped in an inescapable geographical position should be able to flee from their enemy in this miraculous way. Only God could have done it, and no other God has done it. We haven't heard of any God who is able to deliver his people like your God delivered you through the waters of the Red Sea. Surely this God is stronger than all gods. And what's more, we've heard what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. We've seen the power of God, of your God, at work through your armies, bringing victory to people in their own under their own defences, in their own situation, where they know the lie of the land, they know all the most advantageous positions, and here you are, pilgrims on the way, with all of your flocks and your herds and your families, and you've driven them out and you've put them to slaughter. And you've taken their land as your own possession. You devoted them to destruction. No God is like your God. No God is stronger than your God. He is a consuming fire. He is an unstoppable force. No one can stand in his way. He's like a steamroller coming along the road, and there's a little mouse in the road trying to stop this steamroller. That's how these people feel. They feel powerless. They feel weak and helpless before the might of this juggernaut of a God who is acting on behalf of the Israelites. And Rahab recognizes the strength of the God of Israel in comparison to all other gods. And this is the beginning of Rahab's faith. This is the seedbed in which her faith germinates and grows. It's the knowledge and the acknowledgement of this God and his powerful work in the world. This is where faith begins, with seeing that there is a God who is stronger than all, with seeing that there is a God who is powerfully at work in the world, and recognizing the hand of God at work in creation and in providence, recognizing that the unfolding events of history are as much the work of God as the creation of the universe is the work of God. In recognizing that God's hand has been at work through all of time as well as through all of space. And Rahab, she recognizes this. It isn't simply a helpless acknowledgement that the God of Israel is stronger than the gods of Canaan. It isn't simply a hopeless acknowledgement that this steamroller is coming and nothing can be done. No, what we see here in this passage is that Rahab is beginning to understand that this God is true, and this God is living, and this God is working, and he's working on behalf of his people, this God who is stronger than all. And she comes to a conclusion then. As she goes on in verse 11 and she says, as soon as we heard it, as soon as we heard of the crossing of the Red Sea, as soon as we heard of the destruction of the Amorites, as soon as we heard of what your God was doing for you, our hearts melted. And there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. From acknowledging that the Lord is stronger than all, Rahab acknowledges that the Lord is sovereign over all. Rahab acknowledges that God, the God of Israel, is not only powerful, to the destroying of kings and kingdoms. But God has a right of reigning over kings and kingdoms. She recognizes that this God is not a greater, more powerful God than all the gods of Canaan combined. Just as he had demonstrated himself to be a more powerful God than all the gods of Egypt combined, as he went to war with them in the various plagues that attract the particular strengths of individual gods in Egypt, and demonstrated that he was more powerful than them all. No, this is more than simply a battle of the gods in which the strongest god wins. Rahab is acknowledging that he has the right to rule over all. He is God of gods and King of kings, as it were. And this is where the faith then that has sprung up in the soil of her acknowledgement of the Lord's strength begins to show itself, in an acknowledgement of his rightful rule. She is essentially saying to these spies, your God has the right over us. He has the right to come into our land. He has the right to rule over us, because he is the God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. The whole sphere of our existence is under his sovereign control. There is, in other words, no other God. There is no other one before humanity must bow down in praise and worship and allegiance.